The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for listening today.
We are the Shiznit right here in your ear, okay?
Nice.
Fired up, Christy.
I'm a little under the weather today, everyone. I'm going to listen to this episode and think that I sound like a man the whole time. That's cool. But I don't feel good.
What's wrong with you, Christy?
Well, I thought I didn't feel hot. So I went to the doctor. That appointment was already made because I needed some prescriptions refilled. So I made it like a week ago. And then I woke up yesterday and was like, I do not feel good. Good thing I'm going to the doctor tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anyway. And so when I woke up this morning, I was like, my throat is like swollen shut. My lymph nodes are like as big as golf balls. And I just feel like I have a headache. I'm exhausted. So when I went today and I told him all this, he looks at my throat and he's like, you probably have strep. We're going to do a test. And then 5 minutes later, he walked in and was like, we have good news and bad news.
Oh, God.
You don't have strep, but it looks like you do have this other virus. Did you ever have mono when you were a kid? And I was like, the kissing disease? Like mono? He's like, yeah. Did you have that? And I was like, I don't think so. Do you want me to text my mom? I'm a 36-year-old woman texting my mom from the doctor's office. So my mom writes back and she's like, no, you didn't have mono. And he's like, I asked because it can stay in your system because it looks like that's what you have now. So
you've got mono.
I guess so. And there's not much you can do about it. I'm just going to be like stuffed up and horrible feeling for like the next couple of days. And he put me on a steroid packet.
Excellent. So, excellent steroids. And you're like, there's not much I can do about it.
Totally.
Oh my God. When Christy told me this, I already knew this. She just told me when we were like not recording yet. And I said, mono? That sounds like something from like the 80s. Like I think Molly Ringwald or somebody at some point said, I think I have mono.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible. And I texted my husband, how are you feeling? You know, do you feel okay? And he's like, yeah, I feel fine. Why? And I said, because the doctor thinks I have mono. And he writes back like in all caps, like, how is that even possible? Isn't that a teenage thing? Who are you making out with? Of course. Like,
yeah.
Dude, no one.
Get yourself tested. I've got mono.
So that's where we are.
It's kind of a cool sounding thing to have, but I'm sure it fucking sucks.
I just feel horrible. I kind of thought the doctor was just going to be like, oh, you have a summer cold. Oh, you need to chill out. And then he's like, you know, these flare-ups for viruses like
Ew.
This, the virus, he's like, the virus is really common. Like everybody has the virus, but not everybody feels the symptoms of it. And the symptoms are brought on if you had it when you were a kid or if, do you have anything like really stressful or he goes, do you have any big events in your life going on right now? And I was like,
and you pulled out a big notebook and you're like, okay, here we go. Let me list them off.
I was like, yeah, I do. And he goes, yeah, it can be brought on by stress and fatigue. So you need to like take it easy for real for at least 2 or 3 days. And I almost laughed because it's like, I don't even know what that means anymore. How?
That's not possible, doctor.
How?
Give me
how
something
do I do that?
Else.
Who? Where? How do I be? You? Yeah. So that's my story. That's where we are. And I'm actually kind of relieved that today is a Yawa because we don't have to improvise as much. We're answering
reading.
The questions.
We're reading. And these are the ones we love the most because we're helping you out there listening to us. And it's okay because I, for some reason, have an insane amount of energy today. So I'm going to be the upper and you be the downer. And then we'll even it out. in that way.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, just if you need to blow your nose, just, you know, it's all right.
Okay, got it, got it.
Nobody cares. Hey, the Bride Chilla episode, people are loving it. It's doing so well, and you guys have been commenting on it, and we're so glad you love it. It was such a, like, a super fun and educational thing to do. And it was very exciting for me. Like, I was listening back to hers with, you know, when she interviewed us, and then ours when we interviewed her. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, we're in this, you know, I don't know, space that where somebody else across the freaking world is doing it also. And she's really awesome. I really like Alicia. I like her a lot.
Yes, me too. I really like her, and that was really fun to do.
Yeah, so I want to do that again. I want to do that again with her. But, like, I kind of have a crush on her.
Okay, you can do it again.
Okay.
Your wish is my command.
Okay, good. Get what I want. Okay. All right. All right, so we have lots of questions to answer. Y'all have been busy bees writing to us, and we friggin' love it.
Side note. Pretty busy bees asking us questions, not as busy writing us reviews this past month.
This is true. It was like last month, it was like an influx. I don't get to use that word often, of reviews. And it just made me tingle all over. And then we're like, okay, let's look at the reviews because we have to read them. And we're like, oh, there's one. Which we love you for writing it. But we'll love you more if you write some more.
If you take the time to ask us a question, you can also take the time, half that amount of time, to write us a review.
Yes, good. That's a good point. And we actually have gotten quite a few new Patreon members, which we love and need, and we appreciate it. So, you know, actually, we have people who have not only written us questions and written us review, but also become a Patreon member. Mm. Now that.
The trinity of podcast listening.
That's tops. That's just all right in my book. That's amazing. It's amazeballs. Oh, listen, I don't know what's wrong with me.
I have to tell you this because my friend just texted me. She's going to drop something off at my house, like right now.
Drugs?
No, something like small because we took some furniture for her and it goes with the furniture.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm recording a podcast, so I won't be able to answer, but just ring the doorbell. Everybody's home at my house. Like, my kids are here. My in-laws are here. I go, just ring the doorbell. Somebody's home. And then I wrote, if they don't answer, just leave it on the porch. They're all dead. But what I meant to say was they're all deaf. And she just texted me back. She just texted me back like, wait, what?
You're all, I've had it. I've got mono. I'll be like,
I'm recording a podcast.
Die.
Everyone's dead. Just leave it on the porch.
That's pretty much the only way you're going to be able to relax and do nothing, Christy, is if they all died.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. She's like, that's the best, worst autocorrect ever.
Oh,
they are, though. Everyone's deaf in my house when they want it. I feel like it's selective deafness, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. That was an interruption.
That was funny.
No more texts.
Yeah, stop texting. You know, sometimes you do that, and I just feel like you're not paying attention to me.
I'm sorry. I have so many people asking me questions all the time. I feel like I can't ever
turn off
just...
your alerts, except for me.
Okay, I won't look anymore. They're all dead anyway.
That's all right. They're all dead. Just leave it on the porch.
Okay, so we do have one review. I copied and pasted it there. Do you want to read it?
I will read it. Okay, here
you
we go.
Read the shit out of it.
What?
Just read the shit.
I'm going to read the shit out of this review.
Just fucking read it.
And because there's only one, I'm going to take like 10 minutes to read it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Nobody wants that.
No. Okay, fine. I will. All right. 5 stars from... I don't know how to say this. It's AMMCCREAD. Okay, it's from a person. And title is The Best Wedding Podcast on iTunes! ! For emphasis. I love this podcast! 3! I have tried several different wedding podcasts, and this one is by far my favorite! Exclamation mark. I binged the first 70 episodes in a week. It was that addictive. Christy and Michelle are so helpful and fun. They give really useful advice, but manage to be entertaining at the same time. Yes, that is our goal. That's awesome. They really make me feel like I can indeed, quote, plan that wedding. And I don't have to have a nervous breakdown to do it. Exclamation mark. Thank you very much, you lovely person, for that beautiful review and taking the time to do it. We appreciate it. And you are not going to have a nervous breakdown. If we can plan weddings, do this podcast, raise children, be married.
Get mono.
Get mono. I had pink eye last week. We're a fucking mess. We still haven't had nervous breakdowns. So you go, you lovely person. Thank you for that review. We appreciate it so very much.
And then we had an email from a groom. It didn't include a question. It was more of like a thank you. And we wanted to read that also. I can read this one. Because you're going to read the questions, right?
You read it, yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to say thank you to you both for sharing such incredible information. I am a groom from New York City, also a theater person, who has taken an equal role in wedding planning. Isn't that what marriage is about? And I have become a dedicated binge listener and follower of your highly informative podcast. My fiancé went wedding dress shopping with her mom this past weekend in New York at all the big stores, and while she found some dresses she liked, none of them were, quote, the one. Having listened to your episode featuring Anomaly and their custom dresses, I recommended she call for a design consultation. After she was off the phone, I could tell that she was really excited about finding a dress, even more so now it would be something she had a hand in creating. And, fun fact, apparently my fiancé is the first person to have found Anomaly via the podcast and via a groom. Thanks for saving the day. You two are amazing. Keep doing what you're doing.
Aww.
How fun is that? He saved the day.
He saved the day. And you, whoever you are, we're not going to say your name, you are so kind and sweet. And we loved getting that email. And side note, if any of you have found Anomaly and called them, make sure you do tell them that it's from the podcast. I actually had one of my clients call them too, and they were super stoked. So it's just an all-around amazing. That's just, for me, Anomaly is like a no-friggin-brainer. Like, that's a no-brainer. They're insanely cool.
Yeah, she, Leslie, the founder, was just featured in Forbes.
I'm including
the link and the photo and some blurbs in this month's newsletter
that will be
that will be released soon. So if you're a member on Patreon, you'll be getting that along with links to everything that we're reading and seeing that we love and that can maybe apply to supplement your podcast listening.
Excellent. All right. I'm moving on.
Yes, we have four emails today. Usually we only do three. That's because they were a little bit like more like we can bang them out.
Rapid
so that's what
fire?
We're going to do.
Rapid fire?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Email, question one, tasting food before booking venue. Okay, here we go. Hi, ladies. You hear this all the time, but I recently started planning my 2020 wedding, and you are the first and will be the only wedding planning podcast I listen to. I love all of the great information you share and have learned and been inspired so much by your tips and feedback. I have been binging and have only 28 of your 95 episodes left to listen to. Not anymore. This is going to be 97. I have told myself I need to slow down because I will be sad when I have to wait each week. It's like Netflix. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate when it ends. Or Hulu.
Totally. Game of Thrones.
Right. All right. Two things. And then she put a little smiley face. One, I just finished episode number 57, A Wedding Day Story. And OMG, Michelle, you killed it.
Is that weird reading a compliment about yourself in the third person?
I was like, oh my God, Michelle, much, but lots of L's, like to emphasize. Michelle! I know you started off stating that you aimed to make a podcast episode in this style and you weren't totally sure how it would turn out and it was perfect. Please do more episodes like that. Oh my God. Thank you so much. Nobody else has responded to that, my little, you know, feeling insecure about whether or not that was a good move. So I like that. Thank you for that positive feedback.
Yes.
That was Stephanie and Ryan's wedding. I was their wedding planner and I recorded on the wedding day. It was so fun. All right, two, if I may make a suggestion for an episode, as a question for Yawa, or maybe if you can just give me some advice. I am looking for some insight on catering. I know there was one episode that covered it, but I am looking for feedback more in the sense of catering provided at a hotel slash venue and using that in your decision making. At what point can we taste the food, and does it have to be after we've decided on the venue? As we are starting to look at venues and pare down based on pricing, as food lovers, we want to make sure that we don't go for one venue over the next because it's more affordable. But then the reason it is, oh, because it is more affordable, but then the reason it is more affordable turns out to be that the food is not as up to par. Thank you for everything. Once I get my budget straight, I will be donating to your Patreon. Keep being the best, ladies. I love her.
Yes, and she did donate, too.
Oh, yeah,
so she
did.
Was a woman of her word. Okay, so I wrote back, thank you so much for listening. We are so stoked to hear that you love the Wedding Day Story episode. I agree that Michelle killed it.
Oh,
she spent so much time editing that one, and it's one of my favorites, too. And on that, Michelle, because I am doing a wedding out there in the Bay Area in October,
ooh,
we should talk about that because that's going to be the first time Michelle and I have seen each other in forever, ever. We have some big plans, but if you're available on the actual wedding day, maybe you can come and do something similar except with us.
Yeah.
Included in it as wedding planners.
Have you talked to them about it? Talk to them about it. See if they're into
it. I will. They're pretty into everything they're good. I think they will be. And it's at a really cool new venue in Mill Valley that is like huge.
Ooh,
and
Mill
you're going to love it. Huh?
Wait, when is it? We don't have to put this on. When is it?
It's October 20th.
October 20th. Oh, yeah. I don't have anything booked yet. So, okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, that we might do that. As far as the tasting goes, most venues, like hotels, do make you sign the contract and pay the deposit before you taste the food. This is because they want to book out the date way in advance, and the tasting is usually scheduled for much later. Some clients, like this bride, don't like this system, though, because they want to know what the food tastes like before they commit to the venue, which is understandable. Often, venues will offer open houses for things like this.
Oh, yeah.
Where signed couples, as well as people just considering the venue, can come to taste like some of their most popular dishes. It's usually at a setting of like a party where you taste small bites. So you might not be able to taste like exactly what you're going to put on a wedding menu in that case of an open house, but you get a really good idea of what type of food the venue offers and their general presentation style. And you can imagine that if you like, you know, what you're tasting at the open house, you will most likely like what they have to offer as a wedding dinner. Or you can inquire about doing a paid tasting separate before you book the venue, which is exactly what it sounds like. You're considering the venue, but you want to taste the food and talk about the menu a little bit. And they, you know, they're not just going to give that away for free if you haven't signed a contract yet. So if that's something that venues and caterers offer usually, and basically you just pick out a few things you want to try and you pay for it just for the two of you, or, you know, the two of you and your wedding planner, like you would if you go out to dinner. It's a little bit pricey. It's an expensive dinner, but it's worth thinking about if the food is very important to you, and it sounds like it is.
And it's fun.
Also, yeah, it's fun. And it's like a luxury. You sit in a little room. I've done them where I'm sitting in the ballroom, and the only table there is the round table that we're at. Also, do your research and look at reviews and see if you can get referrals or talk to other couples that have been married there and ask them specifically about the food. If you dig a little bit, you're bound to find that this venue probably has a reputation for either crappy food, typical, normal, no big deal food, or like mind-blowing food. Keep in mind that the official tasting for your wedding menu will only be about a month or two out before your actual wedding. That's when they want you to taste what's in season and to work with the chef that you'll be working with on your wedding day. Hope that helps. You agree with all that, Mishy?
I do agree. That was my first thing on my mind is paid tasting. I think it's totally worth it as opposed to a group tasting, especially if you are a foodie. I mean, and that shouldn't come out of your wedding budget. That should be like a date night, like a nice dinner out.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Because really open houses are like people milling around.
Yeah.
And usually a venue or a catering company, a big catering company that services a lot of venues, usually they only do those like twice a year or quarterly, if at all.
Yeah, yeah. And also, what was I going to say? Oh, if you have a wedding planner, do bring your wedding planner. Pay for that because a wedding planner is going to give so much more feedback and insight and offer ideas and pairings.
Ask questions.
And be like, I don't like this because this is going to stain your dress or this could, you know, fall or this is hard to eat or, you know, this is going to go with our theme. So, and ask the right questions. Yes, Christy, ask the correct questions to the catering manager that you otherwise might not know.
Right, and maybe take notes also. So it's I think it's a much when I attend the tasting that is 2 months out or a month out, it's a tasting. It's also like a meeting because you're working with the exact, you know, team who's going to be there on your wedding day. So a lot of things get accomplished there. A lot of times we like nail down the seating and we nail down like wines and napkin folds and where the place card is going to go. So if you pay for a tasting before you even sign, consider that more like a date. If you have a wedding planner, still bring her, but enjoy yourself. If you are waiting until a month or two out to do your tasting, definitely consider it more of a wedding meeting and you need to get stuff done at that time if it's like a month or two out.
So all of you out there who are newly engaged, I want you to go get online, go to Zola.com/bigwedding. They love love, and we love Zola, and they love us, and it's a big friggin' love fest. Here's why. Recently, I recommended one of my couples go to Zola for their wedding website. And they have a beautiful wedding website. And they told me the process was insanely easy and they loved all of the templates. They had a really hard time deciding because Zola has over 100 wedding website designs that you can choose from. And they're really cool. They're really well designed. And you can personalize these, okay? It's not like a boring template that you just put your names in and your wedding date and directions to the ceremony. No, there's an FAQ section, right? So like all of those annoying people that are on your guest list that ask you those questions that you're like, no, you can't, I can't, no, we're not inviting kids. Why? It doesn't matter, okay? We're just not inviting kids. Or sorry, you can't bring a plus one. Okay, we have a limited amount of space. You don't have to verbalize this anymore to people. They go to your website, they click on the FAQs, and they see it all right there. So there's no excuse, none whatsoever. The other thing is that everything is integrated into this website. So Zola started off as a wedding registry. Now they are focusing on these websites, which are amazing, and you can integrate all this other cool shit. So your wedding registry, boom, right there on the website. Your guest list for you to manage, boom, right there on your website. Guests can RSVP, boom, right there on your website. And what? You want to go on a honeymoon? Guess what? You can set up a honeymoon fund on Zola. And boom, your guests can contribute money to your honeymoon if that's how they prefer to do things instead of sending you a blender or a food processor. So Zola's amazing. They are a sponsor of this show. So go to Zola.com/bigwedding and sign up, put that amazing wedding website on there, and send us an email and send us the link to your website. I totally want to see it. Christy wants to see it. I want to see it. And the other cool thing about this, you guys, is after the wedding is over, whatever's left on your registry that those people didn't buy for you, which they probably should have, but whatever, that's a whole nother issue and maybe another show. They're going to give you a 20% discount for you to purchase that vacuum cleaner that was expensive and nobody got for you. Whatever, you know, you can buy it on your own because you've got 20% off now. Free shipping and returns, and they price match. There is no reason not to go to Zola.com/bigwedding and make your wedding planning process even better. Zola.com/bigwedding. Thank you so much, Zola, for making our lives easier and for sponsoring this episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Mwah! We love you, Zola. All right.
All right. So question number two, you can read it.
Right. Question number two. Hey, ladies, big fan of the podcast. You're guiding me and my wonderful future husband to wedded bliss. One podcast at a time. I like that. We are getting married in May of 2019, and we are ridiculously excited. We have a guest list of about 100 people, and they include families and our close friends. The only issue is my father. I was raised by my mother when my dad left my family when my brother was diagnosed with autism. Shit. I was about 3, and my kid brother was 2. My father was pretty absent overall, but when I was 23 or so, he tried to reconnect with me. I moved to Florida to be closer to him. Life is short, and I didn't want to hold a grudge. That's big. That's deep right there. Okay. I was only here for a few months before we got into an argument about something. I don't even know what the argument was about. It was trivial. He called me white trash, and I left. And haven't spoke to him since. I still live in Florida, and this is where I met my fiancé. It's been a few years, and I can't help but feel like I should invite him to my wedding. My fiancé is adamant that I should not invite him because of how he's treated me in the past. He doesn't want our beautiful day of celebration to turn into a shit show because of him. I think he also doesn't want me to be heartbroken in the likely event that he doesn't show up. But every little girl dreams of having their dad walk them down the aisle and of having a daddy-daughter dance. Will I regret not inviting my father? My mom is my best friend. She loathes my father, but she also thinks that I may regret not inviting him. Your mother is a wonderful person. So, what do? Invite him and hope for the best while anticipating the worst? The best being he shows up and behaves and goes through the motions with me. The worst being he shows up and ruins the day. Or do I just not invite this person who I have a history of a toxic relationship with and maybe regret it? Help, please.
Okay. So I answered this one. I'm just going to read my response. Oh, man, I read your email a couple times, and the answer is painfully not obvious. I would advise you to follow your heart, but you are conflicted, understandably. My second instinct would be to tell you to heed the advice of the person you're closest to, since they are involved, too. But with your future husband and your mom disagreeing on this one, that's not possible either. It's complicated and stressful and sad, and I'm so sorry you're going through this. The good news is you have people that love you and seem to understand the incredibly difficult position you're in. Here's my advice, a way that you can maybe come to the decision through a different way of thinking about it. Imagine that it's a year after your wedding, May 2020. You're looking through your wedding album and you're sort of reliving the big day. Imagine seeing photos of your dad in the album. How do you think that will make you feel? What would the circumstances be? The first that come to your mind. Now imagine that your dad is completely absent from the album. You're flipping through the photos of you and your husband, of you and your mom, and maybe of you walking down the aisle alone. How does that make you feel? Are you happy in those photos? Does it make you happy to look back on the wedding day? Know this, a person is not defined by one day. If you invite your dad and he shows up, you are going to get your dad. He isn't going to change just because it's your wedding day. I'm not sure it's possible to invite him and then just go forward knowing he may not even come and then be perfectly okay with that. Is it? Are you that unattached and that flexible? If he does show up, and it's the best case scenario that you outlined in your email, does it resonate with you and feel authentic, or does it feel a little fake and shallow? I've worked with brides that have opted to not invite a parent. I've also worked with a bride that did invite her dad, but barely, and didn't allow him to participate at all. She seemed very happy with her decision, but the entire situation on the wedding day was hard and awkward for her mom and for the grandparents in the family. Some left early, in fact. As wedding planners, our goal is to plan and execute a day for our clients. We want nothing more than for you to feel relaxed and to enjoy every minute of the day. Make the decision that gives you the best chance of this goal. It's your wedding, the decision is yours, and there will be consequences either way. Implore your mom and your fiancé to give you a little space and to respect the decision that you do make, and ask that they help support you on the wedding day. Remember to be grateful for all the non-toxic people you have in your life, including your mom and fiancé. I hope this helps a little, and I wish you all the best. Please keep us posted. What do you think, Michelle? I know you have...
Well, first of all, I think that was a really great response, Christy. That was really good.
I do remember reading that one and actually, like, not answering it right away. Yeah. Reading it and being like, oh, man, I, you know, because it's like, oh, I know the answer. And then after 5 minutes of thinking about it, you're like, maybe it's the opposite thing. And if that's what I'm thinking as a stranger, I could only imagine what she's thinking of as the person that's, you know, going to deal with it. It's really tough.
Yeah. I mean, I have a few thoughts, and they're just kind of life things. One is, you know, for some reason, as children, you know, we really need our parents' love and acceptance and approval. Even if they don't deserve, you know, our love, you know, this is our instinct. We need them. We need their love. We want it. Maybe not always need it. But I think that... You, our listener, took a big step in moving to Florida. Like, that was huge. You obviously want a relationship with your dad. You know, whatever happened in the past, as horrible as it was for your mother and you, whatever reasons it was your dad had, like, he has to live with that. Has he shown any, you know, does he know you're getting married? Do we know this? Do we know that he knows she's getting married?
It sounds like she hasn't talked to him in a couple of years.
No. You know, if the last conversation you had was that, you're obviously feeling very unsettled by it, as anyone would. Your fiance wants to protect you. That is his instinct. But unfortunately, he can't. He can't protect you. It's not possible. And your mom is... obviously an amazing person who wants to sacrifice even her own happiness for her children. It's what we do as moms. So how lovely of her to say, invite him if you want, even though, you know, she's going to be miserable. But the big picture here is that you're going to get married. You're going to have a lovely life. You're always going to have this pain in your heart from your dad, unfortunately. Maybe invite him. Maybe just write him a letter and say, listen, I'm getting married. On this date, do you want to be there? And don't invite him with the expectation that he's going to walk you down the aisle. Don't do that. Don't give him any inclination that you want him to walk you down the aisle. If things are great and you feel good on that day and he's there and he seems to be okay, you can make that decision minutes before you walk down the aisle, honey. You can do that. You know what I mean? Like, you can invite him as a guest like Christy's clients did and then see how it goes if he even shows up.
Yeah, and but see how it goes when you even tell him.
When you even tell him. That's another thing. Like, when you tell him, if you do, don't set an expectation in your heart that he's going to say, oh my God, honey, I'm so happy for you. I want to be there for you. Because he might not either. He might let you down again. Because that's, you know, that's unfortunately what's been going on. But, you know, who you are has nothing to do with any of that. And who your brother is. And you know what I mean? That's all on him. So I hope that you can find some peace and not let this be the one big thing on your mind constantly throughout this process, okay? So, I mean, focus on these amazing things. Focus on every moment. Try not to dig into the past and move forward.
Yeah.
Let us know what you do, too. Let us know what happens, if you don't mind keeping us updated. That's so sad. That sucks.
Yeah.
But it's a happy time in her life. All right.
Email 3.
Email?
This one had two quick unrelated questions.
Okay. Am I reading?
Yep. Oh.
My name is Mark. Oop, am I saying her name? Okay. Email 3. Hello. Let me first start by saying how much I absolutely love your podcast. I listened to it on Spotify, but I specifically downloaded the iTunes podcast app just to rate your podcast. I'll be listening to your podcast, and my fiance just looks at me like I'm crazy because he knows how excited the podcast makes me. You two are wonderful women, and I appreciate so much that you do this on your free time. Thank you. Small happy rant aside, I do have two questions. There might be more later on. Question 1. I want my fiancé to wear a nice black and white tux instead of wearing the same colors as the groomsmen. He doesn't seem to care, but I want to make sure that he stands out as much as I do, since I'll be wearing a traditional white wedding dress. I don't want the wedding to be just about me. I looked up wedding pictures, but I didn't see any groom that wore something different than the groomsmen. My question is, if my fiancé wears a black and white tux, will it seem like he doesn't fit with the groomsmen? All right, that's question 1. Question 2. I listened to your show that talked about wedding registries, and it seemed like people at least know that a wedding registry is a thing. My question is, how do I let people know what our wedding registry is and where to find it? We aren't having a wedding website since we're mainly having family, and most are techno-savvy. I was thinking to put it on the invitation, but I don't want to seem like I'm only inviting them to get gifts.
So quick answers for the groom question. We are all for a groom standing out among his groomsmen. If you're doing a traditional wedding party, that's great. We love a classic black and white tux. At least I do. Michelle, you do too, right?
I do.
You can't go wrong with that. No. And it's totally appropriate for the groom to wear something different from the groomsmen, but you have to try and coordinate and stay within the same range stylistically. So they could all be in black tuxes, and then maybe there's a different color or pattern bow tie or pocket square on either the groom or the groomsmen. You just can't have the groomsmen in like khaki pants and a button down and the groom in a tux. I think it's cool to have the groom in a tux with a black bow tie and then have all the groomsmen in like dark navy suits with like a skinny black tie. It's kind of like Rat Pack style. Mm. So you can do whatever you want is like our basic rule of thumb.
Yeah.
But just try to keep it on the same level in terms of formality.
Or can he swing the white tux with the black lapels?
A white dinner jacket.
Yeah, or black pants, white dinner jacket. Hot. Looks so good. Or if he does the black and white tux, maybe the groomsmen can do gray. They could do gray.
Gray suits, yes.
Yeah.
Or the, if you're super cool, then the groomsmen can be in their own suits, dark suits or tuxes, and the groom is the one in the like color, full on. We've seen like,
well, that's a huge trend. That was a
teal
big trend
tuxes
last year.
And blue suits and really hot like burgundy velvet. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could run the whole gamut. But if it's just in terms of like him standing out, you know, look at things like accessories, like the bow tie, the pocket square, the socks, the boutonniere. And, you know, with suits and tuxes, we always talk about this, or we have before on our attire episodes, but cut and fit is everything.
Everything.
Yes. So, okay. Number two, I said, this is about her registry. If you're not having a wedding website, you do need to include an insert about the registry in your invitation suite. If it's a formal invitation, it won't be on that card that is like, you know, the Dr. and Mrs. Smith are proud and honored to invite you to the wedding of their daughter, Jill Smith. You know, that actual copy, the words that are on that invitation, it won't look good. It'll be sort of considered like tacky to include registered at Target at the bottom of that. But if you have a invitation suite that has several pages or little inserts like the map or the reception information, you would include maybe something small about the registry since you're not going to have a website. And then I said, also make sure that your moms and the, as we always say, the matriarchs of the family have links to the actual registry sites with your name on it so that they can send it out, email it, and text it to anybody who asks about it.
Yeah. And you know, your last sentence, I don't want to seem like I'm only inviting them to get gifts. No, nobody is going to think that. People expect a registry. They right. do. People expect to buy you a gift. They want to buy you a gift. So don't think like that. That's not.
Yeah,
let's
agree.
Take that out of, you know, no, don't do that. Don't think like that.
Okay. Right. So the last email we put on here is one that we didn't respond directly to this bride because we're going to put it. Our answer will be what we talk about.
Live.
Live for us is a little different for us because when I got this question, I thought there was not really a clear answer on it. So I thought it might be interesting for Michelle and I to sort of, you know, go back and forth like we would if we were answering this question for clients of ours.
Okay. You want to read it?
Yes. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
I just found your podcast and I love all the information you provide. I just listened to your kids episode and I have a question. I'm having a semi-kids wedding, which we did talk about on that podcast, yep. How there's like different rules. I have two kids myself and we are allowing family who are coming from out of state to bring their children to our wedding. My mother always said this was the etiquette, but I'm not sure about that. How do I word this on my invitation for my in-state family that have kids so that they are aware that they aren't invited? I don't want to say no kids in some and then kids on the others. Any advice? So my only like hard and true advice is that when you're sending your invitations, if you're sending physical invitations, which you are, include, you know, Jill and Scott Smith on the invitation. Don't include Smith family or, you know, just Smith. It has to be their names. That, in terms of etiquette, is your way of saying these are the only two people in this household that are invited. So that's one way for you to print out invitations for everyone and then just address it differently for those that are in state and out. That being said, even though that is a clear way that in terms of etiquette and history,
old school etiquette,
it's old school and people are still going to push back on this. And if they have kids, you're going to get text messages that say, we can come, we can't wait. Can we bring our three kids? And it's just sticky. It's sticky to say that some can and some can't. There's ways to do it and you should do it if that's what you want, of course. But, you know, you're going to have some actual one-on-one phone calls with people.
Yeah, when we got married, our invitations said adults only, please. We actually put that on our invitations, whether right. it's good etiquette or not, I didn't care. But I did have some kids that came. So my flower girls, who were my cousins, and my brothers, who at the time were very young, you know, under 12, they came. And, you know, listen, you can do whatever you want. We always say this, do whatever you want. You will get some people complaining to you, probably on the wedding day. Dude, there's 10 kids here. What the hell? You said I couldn't bring my kids.
Right.
And you're going to have to say, yeah, there was just, this is immediate family, or those are my kids, so of course they're going to be here, or whatever it is. Or you could say, people come up from out of state, you know, it was hard for them to get a babysitter, so we did allow that. But we didn't want, you could say, listen, half the people, you know, 75% of the people at this wedding have kids. We didn't want a room full of 50 kids. We just didn't want that. So I'm sorry, but how great that you get a good night out without your kids. I mean, you gotta be prepared for that.
Yes, I would put on the invitation adults only reception or whatever. I would put that. And then for the people that you are, for your cousins, you know, coming from out of state that do have kids, just call them or email them separately and be like, you're going to get the invitation. It's going to say no kids. But of course, since you're coming from out of state, if you want to bring them, that's fine. And if you want to bring them to the state, but not the wedding, maybe I can help find a babysitter. But put it out there.
We can help find a babysitter. And also say, and by the way, please don't advertise this to Pamela because she really wants to bring her kids, but I'm not allowing any local kids to come. So just FYI, you know, let them know that too. So that they're not like, we can't wait. Can you hear? Did you hear? Christy and Michelle are getting married and we're going to bring little Joshua and Jamie. You know, don't go calling Pamela and tell her that Christy said you could bring your kids.
Again, you know, getting your parent, your moms and your aunties to help get on board with this and spread the word a little bit will help. You know, moms sometimes are better enforcers than brides are. Like, what do you mean your daughter's not allowing my daughter to bring her kids? That's what she wants. She wants kids from out of state. She doesn't want kids from in state. That's what she wants. Marissa, you either take it or leave it.
You've always hated her anyway. I don't even know why you're coming. You were mean to her as a child. You bullied her.
Or the person, you know, the mom could be the one that's like, I don't know. That's just what my daughter wants. And so that's what we need to do, you know.
Period. Just, end of story.
It is what it is.
And if you go to Zola.com/bigwedding and you create your wedding website there, they have a section on their FAQs, like I said in the advertisement a little while ago. And you can address these questions on that FAQ. Are children allowed? No, this is an adults-only wedding. You can also put that on there.
Yeah, that's a cool feature.
That is it. We answered a lot today.
So much answering.
Whew, I'm exhausted. I hope you get better with your mono.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your well wishes. I know you're sending them as you listen to the podcast.
We're going
to
get a whole bunch of emails about mono now. I had mono, too,
adult
Christy.
Mono.
Adult mono. Oh,
God. Everyone here is dead. Deaf. Everyone here is deaf. Okay. Please subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't already. Rate and review us. Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And we hashtag everything. Hashtag plan that wedding. If you do too, we search for that hashtag so we can comment on any listeners that might be posting stuff. And you can just CC us as well. We're on Facebook, TBWP Podcast, Twitter, TBWP Podcast, our website, thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. Email us your questions at bigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And we are on Patreon. We would love for you to hop over there and support us with a monthly stipend of love. And we have a phone number, 415-723-1625. You can call and leave a message. We'll play it on air.
Hey, you guys, thank you again for sending all those awesome questions. Thank you for reviewing us and the reviews you're going to write right now.
Thank you, future reviewers.
Thank you, future reviewers. We love you all so much. Happy planning, everyone. Christy, I love you and I love your show.
Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Bye.